The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I am doing well. How about you?
Doing good. We're here with Ashley.
Good morning,
good
Ashley.
Good morning.
Ashley, over the last program, has shown that she is the ninja on stopping colorful metaphors going across the airwaves.
Part of my job.
She is the ninja.
Protect the station so we can keep this stuff on the air.
It was a good program, even though you had to, you know, we got most of it. It was a very good program. But, you know, sometimes we get a little passionate here and we drop a colorful metaphor and, you know, that should be okay.
Should be.
You know?
It's part of the language.
I think it should be. We're broadcasting.
Take it up with the FCC.
What's that?
Take it up with the FCC.
Yeah, exactly. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. You can live stream us at KCNR1460.com. We are podcasting all over the world, and we are archived. A couple of quick announcements. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., if you use your search engine and go to mountaintopmedia.com, we will be interviewing Eric Jensen, who is running for district attorney
for Shasta County.
For Shasta County. And I know that when we bring our guest on, he has some legislation that we had discussed a little bit of that he'll be talking about. And I think with that, we're going to bring on Mark Moiser. And Mark is running for the Senate of the United States for one of our two Senate seats. And, Mark, how are you, sir?
I am doing awesome. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You bet. So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background, if you could.
Okay. Well, I am a attorney with the Dillon Law Group. That is Harmy Dillon is a senior partner of that firm. Over the last 2 years, I have sued Gavin Newsom 22 times for his unconstitutional mandate. We've taken three of those cases to the Supreme Court and one at the Supreme Court. So whether it was him shutting down churches, schools, businesses, beaches, we have been at the front lines of trying to restore some of our constitutional rights with these unconstitutional mandates. Also, when Biden did the OSHA vaccine mandate, we were a part of the legal team that took that all the way to the Supreme Court and won. I'm also involved in a lawsuit in San Jose where the city council decided to try to order insurance in order to own a gun. I'm also involved in a school mask case. So I keep pretty busy fighting for people's constitutional rights. When I'm not fighting for the constitutional rights, I do election law. So I have been involved in crazy stuff, like when they tried to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. I was one of the attorneys fighting on behalf of voters for their right to vote for otherwise eligible candidates. I did the same thing when they tried to keep Larry Elder off the ballot. Something about California is not wanting Republicans to even be on the ballot is quite crazy, but I've been involved in those litigation. In 2018, I was the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, the Chief Election Officer of the state. So that's kind of the last 4 years of who I am. If you want to go back a little bit more and see my full biography, it is available on the web at markmoiser.com. That's MarkMoiser.
Yeah, I remember when you ran for Secretary of State, you rode your bicycle everywhere. I thought that was kind of a neat thing. I know you came up here to the North State, did some speaking here in Redding, California, and that was an interesting concept. No, you're not the only Republican running for the Senate of the United States. Are you? And who are the other people that are running in this thing? That maybe the top go-getters and on both sides.
Okay, this is a seat vacated by Kamala Harris.
Right.
Gavin Newsom appointed Alex Padilla into the seat,
right.
But because he's been appointed, what that means is there's actually two elections going on. There is the special election to fill the remainder of the term, and then there is the full 6-year election. So you'll be voting twice in the primary on June 7th, and then the top two from both of those move on to the November election.
So regardless of who the top two are, it could be either party or both from one party, correct?
That is correct. So needless to say, Alex Padilla has the biggest name recognition of anybody there. There does not appear to be any major Democrat in the race. There's a bunch of Democrats that really have no name ID, never held an elected position. So from that perspective, we're not expecting there to be two Democrats like there's been the last two times we've had a U.S. Senate race, where you had, like in 2014, where you had Kamala Harris running, I think it was against Sanchez or something like that, or 4 years ago where Dianne Feinstein was running against Leon. So it does not appear like there's two major Democrats that could make it. Then there are like a total of 30 candidates. I haven't seen the final list from the Secretary of State. We're expecting that in the next day or two of who actually qualified, because everybody does it in their own county, and then the Secretary of State kind of gathers this list and publishes it a couple days after. Friday was the deadline. So there could be as many, I think, as 30 people on your ballot. Right now, I am the leading Republican in the race, and actually, of all the 30 people, I'm the second most name recognized candidate. So the goal is to make it in the top two in June, so that way you can be on the ballot in November, and we are cautiously optimistic that in November, for the first time in 10 years, we'll have a Republican versus a Democrat for the U.S. Senate race.
Well, that would be wonderful to have somebody
yes.
on there that isn't being manipulated. So, also, do we have any way of knowing for sure that that's going to truly happen because of some of these liberal, whacked-out counties and their registrar voters? You know, are their systems being manipulated so that they're going to go against, say, you, not you personally, but you as a party member? Do you think that that could possibly happen?
Anything is possible. I mean, election integrity is something that you are a fool if you just bury your head in sand and say that it does not exist.
Right.
The thing is, though, as somebody who is actively involved in election integrity, not just in California, but across the nation, not just for one election, but over many, many years, the election integrity or election fraud, let me put it as election fraud or election misinformation. When it comes to our elections, that is probably the third biggest problem. There are two problems that are much bigger than the concern about, you know, what an election official or what a machine might do. And I'll explain that. But the number one problem with our elections here in the state of California and across the nation is voter suppression. And I can give you a couple statistics. Number one, in 2018, when I ran for Secretary of State, I got 4.4 million votes. But I lost by 3 million votes. But there were 4.5 million voters in California who chose not to vote because they believed that their vote did not matter. So the election suppression, and I was talking to Ted Cruz just 2 days ago, and he actually put it an interesting way. He said, if people believed that California was competitive, it would be instantly a 15-point swing in favor of Republicans. It's just the fact that people believe a Republican cannot win in California has a voter suppression that would change, that is affecting the elections by 15 points right there alone.
Wow.
And you could actually see that over the years, because back in the 90s, California was considered competitive, and we lost the election, and it kind of turned, a little bit more D, a little bit more D, a little bit more D. Each election kept on getting a little bit more D. And really, the issue is, if people believe that it was a competitive state, it would swing things 15 points, just that alone. Now, another statistic about what I call the voter suppression is, if you look at the recall election that we just had, there were over 3 million Republicans registered to vote, had a ballot on their dining room table, who chose not to fill it in. There were over 2.2 million people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 who had a ballot on their dining room table who did not, who chose not to turn in. There were over 2.5 million Hispanics who had voted in 2020. To the best of my ability, those who did not vote, it was about 80% of them wanted Gavin gone, but they didn't vote. So over 75% of evangelical Christians did not vote. Now, you can't add up all these numbers. They're kind of a Venn diagram. You know, there's a lot of overlap among these groups. But what it shows is that there is a large portion of people who just do not feel that California is competitive. They don't feel like their vote matters, whether it's election fraud, whether it's I just don't care, or whatever. But they're just not participating in the system. And that is the biggest problem with California elections. The biggest problem is that we're just not participating. And that's exactly what the elites want us to do, is they don't want us to be involved in our elections, because it makes it much easier for them to manipulate things. So that is right there the biggest problem with our elections. The second biggest problem with our elections here in California is the voter rolls. And anybody who heard me talk as I ran around the state heard me talk about example after example after example of bloated voter rolls that were not being cleaned up. And, but the problem is, the reason why they are not being cleaned up is because of a federal law passed in 1993, signed by Bill Clinton, called the Help America Vote Act. And in that law, it made it very, very, very difficult to clean up voter rolls. And that means that in 2025, when the Republicans have taken back the presidency, they're going to have the Senate and the House, that bill is going to be rewritten. It's going to be one of the top priorities of Republicans, just based upon what happened in 2020, what happened in 2018 here in California. Mm-hmm. Everybody is aware that that bill has to be fixed. The problem is, nobody in the U.S. Senate right now really has any experience of litigating and really understands that bill to the degree of somebody like me. And the problem is, if I don't make it in there, you're going to have the lobbyists, the K-3, writing these bills, and they don't really understand the practical implications of what really is wrong with that bill and what changes need to be made. So that's one of the important reasons why I'm running for this U.S. Senate race, is because I need to be inside the room when we're drafting that legislation, because there are some very key aspects that need to be addressed by an election law attorney who's litigated these election integrity cases and not necessarily left to K-3.
When
you get done with... Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that it's refreshing to hear you speak, because a lot of times we hear a lot of platitudes and feel-good things and all that good stuff from candidates, and it's refreshing to hear that you're talking about things that you actually want to do, that you can do. using bill numbers, using statistics and facts, and I think that that goes a long way for a candidate, and it's refreshing right now.
Amen.
What are some of the other things when you go to, unless you want to keep going on the subject, it's your party, so whatever you want to do here, but if there is some sort of legislation or anything else that you want to go and move toward, is there something else that you want to move toward that you're looking to do when you get into office?
I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to finish the point that we were just finishing,
sure,
or we were talking about.
Sure.
When it comes to election integrity, and when we start talking about, you know, the fraud, most people call it fraud. Unfortunately, as an attorney and officer of the court, I have to use the term election misinformation because fraud is, you know, a very high threshold of what you have to do.
Right. I've heard you say that before. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I use a little bit more conservative term,
sure,
not because I don't have any concerns about what's going on, but the thing is, what I have to remind people, there's people out there who are saying we need to have 100% vote at the poll on election day, 100% paper ballot.
Yes.
And what I have to say is, you don't remember our history if you make that statement. Because if you go back to like the 1948 election in Texas, that was the election of Lyndon Johnson. And that was 100% vote at the poll on election day. 100%, paper ballot. And they found a way to create Box 13 to get just enough votes to make sure that Lyndon Johnson won the election. We've all heard about the election of 1960 of JFK and the shenanigans going on in Chicago. Again, 100% paper ballot, 100% vote at the poll on election day. Yes, election integrity is an issue, but it's been an issue. I can take you all the way back to elections in the 1600s in the United States, where when it's a very, very, very close election, there have been some shenanigans that have taken place that, you know, people in power use to try to keep their power. And the best thing that anybody can do is overwhelm the ballot box in favor of their candidate. Don't let it get close, because it's only when it gets close that you start seeing the gains. To use an example of the 2020 election, you don't hear about the election shenanigans that took place in Boise, Idaho, or Dallas, Texas, or, you know, even at Boston, Massachusetts. Everything that you're hearing about took place in Phoenix, Arizona, took place in Milwaukee, took place in six counties. You know, because you're not going to commit election fraud where it doesn't matter if you do a lot of it, it's not going to turn the election one way or another. The sides that are manipulating elections are very careful where they do it. There's a very minimum number of people who are going to be involved in the election manipulation, and it's going to be very, very targeted with the fewest number of people possible, because loose lips sink ships. And that is, you've got to understand it, you know, you can't do it at a large level. And almost, you know, like here in California, we actually have a thing called a 1% audit. 1% of every single precinct in the state of California is going to basically be hand counted. And what we see on those audits is, like almost every single time, they agree with the machine. There is no, you know, yeah, occasionally you have something that happened where there was a write-in ballot and it messed up a ballot or stuff like that. But I mean, I've done the audits in Wisconsin and Michigan and California, and I have never, in any of my personal participation over the last decade of audits that I have looked at or personally reviewed, I have not seen any machine that ever swung a vote. Now, if it were to happen, it would be in one or two, you know, counties where in a very close election, which is why I go back to point one and point two. Number one, you fix it by getting people to participate in the elections. And number two, we got to go in and clean up the voter rolls so there's less opportunity for potential manipulation. So I think that answers your first question. Ready to move to your second question of what are some of the other things that I want to do? And the answer to that problem really comes in from the last 2 years of OSHA, where we have seen unelected bureaucrats who have basically been mandating rules that have basically bound America. And this is not a new problem. It's just been put on steroids. I mean, because we see right now parents who are so upset that unelected bureaucrats in D.C. have more say to do with their child's education than they have. We live in a society right now where, you know, you understand this, Terry. I know you and I have had this conversation many times. We live in a republic. What is a republic? Our Constitution is between we the people. We the people are the government. And we have given our duly elected representatives the ability to pass laws to govern us. But when you have unelected bureaucrats passing regulations that now automatically bind us, there is grave concern about that. You know, when Biden decides, you know what, I'm going to use OSHA and mandate a vaccine. That is, you know, Biden is not our duly elected representative. He is the elected executive.
Right.
And what most people don't understand is the reason why they recalled Andrew Johnson. And if you understand the reason why they attempted to impeach Andrew Johnson, if people understood that, then they would really understand this concept of separation of powers. So if you go back to the 1860s, Andrew Johnson has just been made president because of the death of Abraham Lincoln. The Congress passes a bill. Andrew Johnson vetoes that bill. Congress overrides that particular bill, and Andrew Johnson decides that he is not going to enforce that bill. In fact, he does the exact opposite. He basically thumbs his nose at Congress and says, I'm going to do what I want.
Yep.
And Congress said, no, time out. We make the laws. You enforce the laws. And you don't have the authority to just pick and choose which laws that you enforce. In a Republican form of government, it is our duly elected officials that pass the laws that bind us. And the executive, the governor, the president, they don't have the ability to make laws. They don't have the ability to even choose which laws to enforce. It is their job to simply enforce the laws put forth by our duly elected representatives. And that is what a republic is. So when I go to the United States Senate, what I need to do, what the United States needs to do, is we have to go in and say every single regulation passed by the administration does not become enforceable until it is passed by majority vote of the House of Representatives, your congressmen, and your United States Senate. And at any time, any bill that is on the any regulation can be brought before the House and let them vote. Because this concept of, oh, we're just going to give power to the Secretary of State and they can do whatever they want. No, that's not a Republican form of government. Right now, you can't sue for vaccine harm as long as the Secretary of Health wrote a memo that said that this is an emergency. That
Mark,
is not a Republican form of government.
Mark?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to go after our one and only break. We're here with Mark Moiser, and we'll be hearing more on the other side of this break. Mark, thank you, brother. Time has come.
For 51.
See you in a bit.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Don't know why. I have to
drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not new, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's gone far. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Can't be late.
Toots and Common. Wonderful things. Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb is coming to Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, March 5th through September 5th, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures, presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors, with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
This year's Turtle Bay auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items while supporting Turtle Bay. Register free online, then view and bid on over 100 items. From getaways and romantic dinners to jewelry and more. Learn more about everything auction at turtlebay.org.
In some old dusty attic undisturbed for many years, there lies a tattered banner that is stained with blood and tears. By men who knew that freedom must be fought for by the free, and died to save a ragged flag that says, don't tread on me, don't tread on me. I'm a rattlesnake with diamonds on my back.
Don't tread on me. We're here with Mark Moiser, who's running for the Senate of the United States of America, and I would encourage people who are listening to this to share this with your friends, share this with everybody you know. You can do that by going to kcnr1460.com, go to programming, and go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, and you can listen to it at your leisure, because we archive everything forever. So, Mark, Wynn has a question for you, my friend.
Okay, yeah, Mark, when you were talking about voter rolls and so forth, we were assured here in Shasta County that our voter rolls have been cleaned up and they're maintained regularly and so forth. And through the process of a recall that we just had here in Shasta County in District 2, our people that and volunteers that were working on collecting signatures, going through the process to validate signatures to make sure everything was accurate and that each signature was in compliance and was a fair signature to collect for that district for the recall, they found a boatload of problems. They found hot messes with names and addresses and all kinds of stuff that were on the roll. How can these people that are volunteers, that are not professionals, that are not paid county employees, that are not trained to find all this stuff, indeed find it, and then when they turn it over to the Registrar of Voters, the Registrar of Voters assures them they're going to take care of things. And they don't. So how can we go from Registrar of Voters saying that it's clean to these volunteers who are doing all this work and finding all this mess? How does that work in one district alone, one of the five within our county? How does that work?
Well, I mean, again, as I said 4 years ago when I was running for Secretary of State, I was finding stuff like, you know, 12 people who lived at a miniature golf house, or 75 people who lived at a vacant lot, or, you know.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, we lost
him. We lost him.
Okay.
Mark, you're going to have to call back, brother. I don't know if you can hear this or not, but...
Ruh-roh. We'll have to wait for him to call back.
Yeah. Did we lose him on our end or his end?
Just went dark.
Just went dark.
Hmm.
We have had in the past the line drop people if they go into weird reception areas.
Okay.
But it looks the same on my end if they hung up or yeah. It's possible he just bumped something on the speakerphone or whatever.
Sure.
He's probably still talking.
There is a chance of that.
Knowing Mark, he's probably still rolling, man.
And then he's going to go.
I will let you know as soon as he calls back in.
Okay. Anyway, it's been interesting so far. I think that it's important to note, at least for me, the thing that's refreshing about this is there's been a lot of facts. There's been a lot of things that Mark's brought up that really, he backs it up with fact. He backs it up with different laws. He backs it up, everything he says. And
with knowledge, with too, knowledge. Because he's been in the trenches.
And I really have to encourage people listening to this, you need to share this program. We're also going to have Cordy Williams on, and I think it's, I want to say the 27th, but we're having him on, I think it is, March 27th. And he is the other leading Republican who is running for the Senate of the United States. Now, it's important, this is an important race for us, for several reasons. I think that, it's got some legs. You know, California is still California. California is still a mess. And we have to make sure the uninformed voter and the people who don't pay attention normally pay attention. That's why we do these programs. That's why we do these things, to make sure that you can get the word out.
Well, come June and November, the tide can change as long as
absolutely.
People aren't apathetic. If people are out there, registered voters that are registered properly, and you're do please get, if you're not registered yet, get registered and do the vote. You know, get yourself educated on the issues and the people that you're going to be voting for. Make sure that you understand who you're voting for, not just to placate and pop a name in there. You want to know what the issues are. You want to know who the names are. So you want to get those in. And so do the right thing. Get yourself educated. There's nothing worse than a misinformed electorate. Nothing worse.
And one thing that's very, very important, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we hope, we should have a premiere. If it doesn't premiere tomorrow night at 6, it'll be premiering by Tuesday. Go to mountaintopmedia.com, mountaintopmedia.com, if you live in Shasta County. We are having on Eric Jensen, who is running for DA, and we will do a whole program on the corruption we have. And I said, yes, the corruption we have in our DA's office, which is unbelievable. Anyway, we do have Mark Barrett on the phone. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Did you lose your guest there?
We did.
We did.
He flew the coop somehow.
No, I just get a note
okay.
here.
What's happening, Mark?
Well, I was just going to talk to him about voter fraud.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
he's gone, so I can't do that.
Well, you can ask. What's the deal with voter fraud?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I understand as an attorney, fraud rises to a much higher bar than voter misinformation. But I know I've told you guys this story. I have firsthand knowledge of voter fraud in Siskiyou County. People who voted twice, people who vote where they don't live, people who voted in two different states for not only state elections but also local elections, in order to get the marijuana laws they wanted passed. And these are firsthand testimonies. I saw it. I was there. And the Secretary of State at the time did nothing about it, and his investigator told me he was going to do nothing about it because he wanted everybody to vote, even illegals to vote. And now we have places where they're considering allowing illegals to vote in, quote, local elections. Well, you know, I don't know how that would be regulated, and I can't imagine that it would be.
Mark, we do have him back on the line. We have our guest back on the line, so...
Yeah, go ahead and ask your...
Yeah, ask your question.
Yeah, Mark, ask your question of Mark.
Mark Muser, are you there, buddy?
I am there. Sorry about that. That was such a great answer, and all of a sudden I got down.
We
somehow got disconnected.
We were laughing in here. We knew you were still talking, but nobody could hear you. Anyway, Mark Baird has a question, and Mark, you're really going to have to speak up, because sometimes when we have two people on these lines, depending on the reception, it really isn't great. So what's your question for Mark Moser?
I'm a former peace officer, and I have firsthand knowledge of a voter fraud investigation in my county, and I was told directly by a Secretary of State investigator that they would do nothing about it, and I'm hoping that a state's attorney general would do something about it, and I think you're probably the guy that would do it. And so that was what I wanted to say.
I don't know that he has jurisdiction. He's running for Senate of the United States. I don't know if he has jurisdiction. Would you have jurisdiction on that, Mark?
No, he does not. I thought he was running for state's attorney general.
No. He's running for the United States Senate, one of our two seats.
Well, there are laws that probably could be passed that would help that out, but not in local elections. So
right.
Anyway, I'll sign off and see if you can have your time with your guest.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you later, buddy.
Anyway, Mark.
Mark, can you pick up where you left off?
Yeah,
do you remember where
do.
You were?
Can you tell me where I dropped off? I have no idea where I dropped off.
No, I don't think we ever got to you. I think that the question, did he answer your question, Wynn?
I was talking about the voter rolls, you know, the cleanup and so
right.
forth.
Yeah.
So I asked about that, but I
think that's where we lost you, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so you lost me at the very, very, very beginning.
Yes, sir.
Got it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what the problem here is that there is no incentive for registered voters under the Help America Vote Act for them to clean up the problem. What ends up happening is that the law as it is written right now is if the registered voter receives information that that causes them to believe that somebody no longer lives where they claim that they live, then what they're supposed to do, they send a postcard. And if that postcard is not returned, then they must leave you on the voter rolls for 4 years. And if you do not vote in those 4 years, then they can remove you from the voter roll.
Wow.
The problem is there's a lot of registered voters who never even bother sending those postcards to begin with. Problem number two is it's very difficult for citizens to bring a lawsuit for the registered voters not doing their job. And so what needs to happen, and the third problem is that it's the voter basically has to tell you, yeah, please remove me from the voter roll in order to be removed from the voter roll. What has to happen is we need to flip this. Okay, number one, registered voters must regularly check various databases like driver's license and people, telling the post office that they are moving. Those two would be, just focusing on those two would be enough. But if either of those databases change, then the ROV within 30 days must send a postcard. And if that person does not affirmatively reply, no, keep me on the voter roll for this area, then they are going to be removed from the voter roll. It needs to be an affirmative, automatic removal from the voter rolls. If the government has evidence that you have moved and you do not affirmatively reply that you want to be kept on the voter roll, that is the thing that kind of must happen. We also must add to that some teeth so that if a citizen group finds, like yours, that the registered voters is not doing their job, a quick and effective way to sue over this and to force them to do their job, and that needs to be done. Also, what needs to be put into here is that every state, in order to get a driver's license, you have to show proof that you are a citizen. If you don't show proof that you're a citizen, here in California, you get a special driver's license. So that evidence needs to be given to the Secretary of State, to the Register of Voters, and proof of citizenship should be checked to ensure that you are eligible to vote, since you have to be a citizen in order to vote in the United States of America. So those are some basic stuff that we can do with the amending of the Help America Vote Act to take care of the problems that you guys are seeing
you know, as your volunteers have been going around just checking.
That is great information. I don't know if you're able to watch a clock there. We have about 15 minutes to go, and we're not going to have any kind of commercial break or anything, so it's yours. But I just want to make sure that before the end of the program, we do get your information on how people find you, where they can go to help you, where they can donate, et cetera, et cetera. I want to make sure we do that. But anyway, another point I think that we want to bring up is the understanding of the jurisdiction that you'll have as a senator, because you're going to be a senator in the United States Senate, so that jurisdiction is federal. So how, what's another thing you think you can do to help individual counties in the state of California that you can help from a federal level to help them gain their liberty back? Is there any other types of things that you want to talk about as far as bills or anything that you would like to see happen?
First off, I will answer your first question. It's markmoiser.com, markmuser.com. I'm also available on Facebook and Instagram, and when you guys get it, I am on Truth Social already. So those are three social media platforms that you can follow me on. At my website, you can see, you can make contributions, you can join my email list, you can also read my bio that we talked about earlier today. You know, you ask a very good question, because, you know, all government, it's supposed to be we the people. We are a self-governing people. The government that governs least governs best. And we need to return things to the local government. You know, the federal government has grown way too big. It has gotten way too bloated. It has far exceeded what the, you know, even the most radical federalists in the Constitutional Convention, anything that they ever thought. I mean, they thought they had put a lot of limitations on what the federal government could do, and over the years it's just continued to grow and grow and grow and grow. And we need to actually rein in this bloated federal government. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk. I mean, Reagan was one of the first to do it, talk about how we needed to end the Department of Education. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that unelected bureaucrats in D.C. have more say over your child's education is something that needs to happen. We are seeing this all across the state, all across the nation, where parents are just so frustrated that, you know, school boards are saying, we can't do anything about it. That is unacceptable, because that power needs to be with the parents. You know, the problem is the federal government has just, you know, has gotten so big that it is controlling, you know, everything in every element of government just based upon the simple fact that they have the power of the purse. It's like, oh, if you want to do this, then you must do this. And, you know, it's taken a lot of the power from your county supervisors, from your school board. And we need to go through and basically, you know, audit every single government agency. Because right now the problem is with the spending that we're doing on the federal government, we are mortgaging our children's and grandchildren's future. We are hoping that future tax dollars is going to pay these bills. And so rather than only spend the money that we currently have, we're spending money that we don't have. And that is going to end. That's what's driving this inflation right now, is this out-of-control spending right now. And what it's resulting in is families are pretty much having to take a second mortgage out of their house just in order to give their fill their car up with gas.
Gasoline, yeah, right.
No, you know, we got a problem with our federal spending. We got to go back to a balanced budget. We got to go back and start auditing these federal agencies to remove fraud, duplicate services. But then we also really need to get out of this business of, you know, grant writing, where everything is coming from the federal government with federal spring. You know, we got to get out of, you know, all this buying peace among the world, because, oh, we got to do this with this small country, and we got, you know, just this last week, $13 billion to Ukraine to help them secure their border, where this never would have happened if Biden hadn't been such a weak leader, hadn't messed up in Afghanistan and messed up on our own border. Because he was such a weak leader, he gave Putin the ability to do what he's doing, and now our government feels like it has to pay $13 billion to secure Ukraine's border, which is quite interesting that, you know, I think it was Nancy Pelosi said $4 billion to build the wall on the southern border was too expensive. So it just goes to show that they have a political agenda that is, $13 billion is not too much when it's spending it for another country, but you know, $4 billion for your own country, that's not good. So you know, there's this double standard that we have. But to go back to your question, there are so many grants given by the federal government to local governments, whether it's from how they're building their roads, whether it's grants on crime prevention or drug prevention or clean water or whatever. The problem is we got to stop doing that, and that's one way that we can help the federal government start balancing its own budget. But it's also another way, because when the federal government is sending money, they're also basically taking local power away. And so if we stop spending that money at the federal level, forcing the locals to do it, then you're going to return local control.
Yeah, I think that's great information. And we will get with you, too. We have Mountaintop Media. If you go to mountaintopmedia.com, Mark, you'll be able to just search engine that. And if you are in a hut in the jungle and you have Internet, you can find it. We'd like to have you on with a Zoom call, and we will do 2 half-hour segments, because I think a lot of the things you're talking about are so pertinent to the understanding of how we win this back. And you're so correct about going locally and the understanding of that. And it's nice to hear the connection, the correlation between what you're wanting to do in the United States Senate and how that can work with the local governments. Is there any other type of legislation you'd like to see? You've got about 8 minutes left.
Boy, you're asking me for my dream list and what's next. I mean, we've already talked about what we got to do with the voter registration.
Right,
we've already talked about how we're going to have to audit every government agency. We've already talked about how every government regulation needs to go back to the House and Senate. My goodness, dream list of all the if I get that accomplished in the next couple of years, I'm going to be an absolute hero. Is there more that we could do? Yes, there is a lot more we could do, because we need to basically re-educate America. We got to understand the separations of
powers.
Power.
Yes.
But I think one of the biggest things that has to happen is we are going to have to go in and deal with the issue of immigration. And, right now we have a major problem on our southern border of, human trafficking and drugs coming across the border. And the problem is this is being, they are using people who are coming across the border just, for a better life and everything like that. And why are those people coming across the border? It's because our immigration laws are broken. The Silicon Valley have gotten their politicians to make sure that H-1 visas are available for, these tech people to come into the country and do their work, okay? Silicon Valley has made sure that the immigration laws have changed to protect them. What hasn't happened is there are so many people in the agricultural who want to come into California or come into Texas, work for 6 months, and then go back home.
Sure.
But because we are not allowing them to come in on work visas, what ends up happening is that the coyotes are bringing them across the border. Now that they've taken the risk to get into the country, there's no incentive for them to leave after 4 months, because you're going to just have to pay another coyote to get back in next year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're starting to create this illegal problem, and now the coyotes are using this traffic coming over the border to bring in drugs and to do human trafficking. So it's not enough to just build a wall. We actually do need to make sure that we properly, look at the immigration issues, because not everybody who's trying to come in across the border is trying to come in to live here. They, there's a lot of people who just want that opportunity to work, and and for 3-6 months, I've talked to many people in the agriculture or dairy and saying, we don't have the people who want to do it. These people are willing to do it. If we simply had a work visa for them, they would come work for us for 3-4 months, and then they go back home. They don't want to be here. So
right. I think that, and that's a good point. See, again, we always talk about jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. When we look at the jurisdiction, you as a senator for the United States, the federal government has jurisdiction according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, in which the states delegated to the federal government naturalization. So, this is really something that really is up your alley. I mean, we could probably do a whole segment just on you speaking about immigration. In fact, maybe we'll do that on Mountaintop Media. But I think that's a very, very, very important point. But again, we have about 4 minutes left, but I really want you to, again, let these people know this is podcasted worldwide, and my friend, you also can send this off to everybody that you know, everybody your staff knows, everybody that in the world, and get your word out this way. But we really would like to have you again give us the way that people can contact you so that, that they really have this information down, and we can start getting people elected that care about being a statesman and not just a politician. So go ahead, my friend.
So markmoisier.com, markmeuser.com. You can join my mailing list. You can always make a contribution. And what's interesting is over 60% of all the campaigns that I have raised have come from people who have given less than $200. I'm not being funded by big tech or big pharma. I'm being funded by we the people, people who just want their government back. Just the amount of people who are supporting me across this great state, it's just very humbling every day to see that. I am on Facebook. Again, my handle will be Mark Moisier. I am on Instagram, again, Mark Moisier, and I am on True Social. So if you're on any of those platforms, please join the conversation. Where you can like, comment, and share the content. I'm, on there quite a bit every single day. Opportunity for you to see all the issues that I'm talking about, from gas prices right now to national security to
immigration,
immigration, education. Right now people don't feel safe. This is the Joe Biden inflation, and this is causing people to really wake up that this president does not have their best interest in heart. So, again, my name is Mark Moisier, and I am running for United States Senate. This is a seat that was vacated by Kamala Harris, so it is technically an open seat. You're going to get the opportunity to vote for me twice in June, once for the special election to fill the remainder of the term, plus the full six-year term, so you're going to see my name on there twice. My website is markmoisier.com, markmeuser, and I would ask everybody to please help me take my fight for your constitutional rights from the courthouse to the U.S. Capitol.
Amen, brother.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure. I'll give you a call later on this week, and we should be able to get a podcast or two going. We've got a little time here, so if you're up for that, we'd love to have you do that.
Let's do it.
All right. I will give you a call. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Time has come.
And before we go,
we have
a Board of Supervisors meeting, 9 a.m. on Tuesday, in 2 days. So please be there. See what's going to be happening next.
Let your voice be heard.
Amen.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
See the bill we all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.